salvation. And of course, number two, we went over this to seek and to save. We talked about Jesus's purpose statement, His purpose statement for life. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Therefore, it should be ours too. There was a go, there was the win, and there was to baptize and to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to do. Boy, I'd be really concerned with our church if we were only wanting to do updates to our facilities just to look pretty or just to be in competition with somebody else to say, oh, look how pretty our church is. That's a problem because that is pride. What I want to do is I want our church to look pretty and look attractive and be a blessing for folks that are coming to Christ, folks that are coming to visit our church. And that's what we are wanting to do. Now, we're going to start here talking about owning the mission. We need to take ownership in this thing called the Great Commission. And that's what we're trying to do. This is a tool, this is a study that we're seeking to go through and to just take ownership in this thing of telling people about Christ. And the story was told that there was a man who was asked to pray in service, and he prayed often, and it was often said that he always prayed the same thing. He pretty much prayed the same exact prayer, almost as if he had it memorized. And one of his requests was, "O Lord, touch the unsaved with Thy finger." And that would be his prayer request, "Lord, touch the unsaved with Thy finger." Well, one day this same fellow was asked to pray, and he started praying, and he got to praying, and that same phrase came out, was going to come up, and he just said, "Oh Lord, touch the unsaved with Thy finger," and then there was a really awkward pause. And of course, you know how that is. Sometimes you're not sure what's wrong, but what happened is somebody finally approached him kind of there and said, "Hey brother, are you okay?" And of course, he said, yeah, I'm okay. He said, I just realized the Lord spoke to me and said He wanted me to be His finger. The one, because he kept praying, "Lord, touch the unsaved with Thy finger." And he said, "I just realized that I need to be that finger that the Lord uses to touch people." And church, that's what we're going to do. We're just going to be an instrument, a tool, in the hand of Almighty God to reach more people with the gospel. It's taking ownership. Can I say this? Every born-again child, this should be the case, every born-again child wants to see people saved. I'm going to say that again. Every born-again child of God wants to see people saved. Do you believe that, church? If you believe that, say amen. Amen. That is a desire that comes natural for a child of God. And it's something that should be very real to every single one of us. It's simply taking it personally. First of all, we need to realize that, first of all, in taking this seriously, we need to make a commitment. That'll be your first blank there if you have your books with you. If you don't, just jot down these and fill them in later. But it is to take it personally is to make a commitment. And that's what we're doing. We're just trying to make a commitment as a church individually that we're going to do more than we've ever done before. We're going to take the gospel gospel message seriously, and we're going to make a commitment. You know, the evangelist D.L. Moody tells the story that He was a soul winner. He really was passionate for seeing people saved. And one time he was approached by one of the ladies in his church. And she basically just went to him with a critique and really a complaint. And said, "Mr. Moody, I really do not approve of all this winning souls and all this getting people saved and different things. I don't really like your method." Because he was creative with his Sunday school and different things. Man, he'd do anything to get the gospel to people within, again, the Bible, within the allowance that the Word of God gives us. And so she kind of pointed that out, and Moody's reply to this critic was gracious. He said, "Ma'am," he said, "you're right." He said, I know I need to improve on this, and I don't like the way I do it either. Could you tell me, how do you do it?" And her response was, "Well, I don't do it." And his response was classic. Then he said, "Then I like the way of doing it better than your way of not doing it." And a lot of people can be critical of how you're reaching people for Christ, But those that are sometimes the most critical are the ones that aren't even doing anything. And there are many ways to reach people with the gospel. There's not one set way. There are many avenues that God gives us of getting the gospel message. And I'm so thankful for that. And by God's grace, Crooked Creek Baptist Church, under my leadership in the years to come, we will look for every avenue possible to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe there's a dying world out there going to a devil's hell for all eternity unless they get the gospel message. And by God's grace, I want that to be able to happen. I want to be able to share with people that God loves them and God died for them and God wants them to be saved. So we see there's a commitment. And I pray that in each of your hearts that you have already, and if you haven't already, I pray that you would even do it tonight and in the days to come. Would you make a commitment? Saying, Lord, I know I'm not much. I mean, you talk about D.L. Moody. You know what? He had a fifth grade education. He used to be criticized all the time how he would slay the King's English. He would slaughter it. He'd butcher it. He had some ways about him that rubbed people the wrong way because maybe he wasn't dignified enough or sophisticated or whatever the case may be, educated enough, but he just had a burden to tell people about Jesus. And that, my friend, is what we need. We need to make a commitment saying, Lord, we know we're not much, but God, if you could use us to make an eternal difference in somebody's soul, would you do it? I encourage you tonight, if you've not made that commitment, would you make it tonight? And you pray this prayer. Listen to me, please. Say, Lord, I want to commit to you to take the Great Commission more personally. However you see fitting me into the avenue of taking the Great Commission personally, Lord, would you show that to me? In the coming days, my goal is to make many avenues for the different teams that will go out each week to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the way, can I take a minute and just brag on our folks? And I appreciate those of you that came out to the Oaks. Man, that was so exciting to me. That was our first time going over there, and we had a wonderful meeting. I think we probably had, what did you say, Brother Mike, about 8 residents? Maybe around there, maybe 8, maybe even as much as 10. We had several families from the church come. And to be honest with you, it was the perfect number of people. We would have got any more. We would have had people lining down the hallway. I'm actually going to request that we be moved to more of a community room, maybe even after the meal's cleaned up and all, because we were in the chapel and it was kind of tight. But boy, those people were encouraged. We went in there, man, we sang some choir numbers. Katie played the flute, Luke played the guitar, and it was just a blessed time. And I'm looking to do more of that. That's an avenue of sharing the gospel. And I'm thankful that the Lord is giving us these opportunities. But not only that, then after we make a commitment, which I hope all of us have done, then we set a plan. We set a plan. We have a long to-do list representing many responsibilities and commitments, do we not? And a lot of times, sadly, if you're like me, sometimes telling people that Jesus ends up being the very last things to do. And that's why we need to be reminded that in this thing of taking it personally and making a commitment, we need to make a plan. We need to just say, Lord, forgive us for being too busy to share people about your sweet grace gospel, your sweet and gracious gospel of the Lord Jesus. And Lord, would you help us? Would you help us to make a plan in our life where we take the initiative and we block off a point in our schedule? And what I'm going to ask you, church, I personally do not believe is overwhelming. And forgive me if you think otherwise, but I believe that asking what I'm going to ask each of our church members, and if you want to do more, that is great. You can come in every Saturday or anytime you want. But here's what I'm going to ask each of you to do. I'm going to ask each of you, every member of our church, to commit to 2 hours every month for fulfilling the Great Commission. Now that might mean that you're in a nursery. That might mean that you're making refreshments. That might mean you're out putting door hangers on the doors. That might mean you're collected in a room together praying and seeking God on the behalf of people that are out in spiritual warfare, seeking to get the gospel in the devil's territory. It's going to be many ways, but I'm going to ask that you do 2 hours a month. That means you come in on a Saturday, And we're going to thinking about right around maybe 2 to 4 time frame. It could be a little less. It doesn't necessarily have to be 2 hours on the mark. It could be an hour and a half, but that gives you a plenty of time to come and meet, to meet with your team, and then to launch out in our different areas. We'll have maps for you. We're categorizing that. We're going to be organized, and we're going to be preparing for that. But I think we ought to set a plan. I think we ought to be ready and making it the highest priority in our life. Listen, I don't know about you, but I don't want soul winning to be at the end of my priority list. I want it to be at the top. I want to say, Lord, I if you could just use us, please, to tell people about your grace, your saving message. I want it to be a priority. And we're going to, as a church, I believe we want the blessings of the God of heaven. We will make the Great Commission a priority. It will be by His grace. Nothing we'll be able to work up in the flesh. But I believe the Lord Jesus had organized outreach. He sure did. Remember in Luke 10:1 when He sent out the disciples? He sent them out, 70 also it says, and sent them out 2 and 2 before His face into every city and place, whither Himself would come. He Himself would come. There was organized. So it is so important for us to take a moment to set a plan. And by the way, that's what our plans are. We are setting a plan. We are looking to be more effective and to be intentional in what God is going to allow us to do. In the coming days, we will have 4 teams, possibly a 5th, and we will be set up and split up. We'll meet together. We'll be divided indifferently, and then we'll be organized where the places we're going. We'll be organized in our keeping track of who we're talking to, contacts that people can go to later, that I can go to later. It's going to work together for the glory of God. Now, I will say this. We need to be patient with each other. Anything like this that's new, I don't know about you, but this is new for me. And from what I understand, it's somewhat new for you too. But so there's a learning curve there, and we're going to work with what we have. We're going to make mistakes. There are going to be things like that along the way. But hey, it's better to do something and make some mistakes and do nothing, get nothing accomplished. And so we're going to try to step our feet forward, and I even apologize now for the mistakes I will make because I know I will make them. But the Lord will help us. And then here, the last 2 points, I'll go through these quickly, is this is a given. We seek God's help. We seek God's help. We have got to have God going before us. We have got to have Him empowering us to do what we want to do in this community. I don't know about you, but I am afraid to death to think of the fact that I have to go talk to people about eternity without the power of God on my life. I am scared to death. And in fact, when I get ready to talk to somebody, I am praying, oh God, please cleanse me. Lord, help me. Lord, Holy Spirit, live through me. Let me have your power as I speak your word. Because I can't do this. And the Lord, I believe, blesses that spirit. We seek God's help. Listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. I believe you have it in your book, but it says, "For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel." That's us, church. "Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we," get this, what does it say, church? "Flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness." Hey, listen, I am not of the philosophy. Let me clear this up in the very beginning. I am not of the persuasion, and I am praying that none of you will be. If you do, we'll just pull you off. I am not for easy believism. That is so, so important. There are people being deceived into hell, thinking they're saved, and they only said a 1, 2, 3, pray with me. Hey, listen, that's wicked. We got to be extra careful about that. We need to be thorough in our witness. Can people get saved easily? Yes, they can. But hey, we're not in a competition. We'll let God do the convicting. We'll let God do the converting. We'll just be bringing the message. Amen. And we will give it and ask for the Holy Spirit to convict their hearts and to draw them. But hey, listen, we're not in any contest here. Some people will be planting. Some people will be watering. But it's God that gives the increase. And that's the philosophy of your pastor. And that's the way I will go forward. We're not in a contest who can win the most. We are working together as a team, as a church, and everybody's part counts. And so I'm thankful that every part matters. One waters, one plants, one waters, but God gives the increase. We're co-laborers together with God. We're leading people to Him. So we see that we seek God's help. We cry out for Him. And just as Paul's saying here, we're not out to please men. We're not out to use flattering words. Listen, I'll tell you one thing I don't agree with that goes along with what I'm saying. I will not do this. Sir, or young man, or young lady, do you want to go to heaven? Mm-hmm. Who don't want to go to heaven? I mean, seriously. You want to go to heaven? Mm-hmm. Okay, pray with me. Listen, that is not the gospel. It's a very serious thing. We preach the gospel, the pure gospel, that Jesus does love them and Jesus does want them in heaven and He doesn't want them in hell, but we give them the gospel. We give them the gospel that Jesus died for your sins and He rose again the third day gloriously, victorious over death. And if you will believe that by faith, Jesus Christ will save you. Is that something you were ready to receive by faith today? And turn to Him with full faith. The gospel. We want to make sure we are seeking God's help and allowing Him to do the converting, not us. We'll have a church full of lost people if we do that. God help us. Thinking they're saved. God help us against that. But then lastly, and I'm going to close here. You've been so patient with me tonight. I appreciate that. We're going to prepare a message. Now this is where, it gets practical. I am not just expecting you folks just to go out after this meeting tonight. Over the next several weeks, when I get back from Africa, even before then, we're going to be talking about the practical aspects of just talking to people about the Lord. We're going to be giving you some avenues. We're going to be giving you some direction and how to do that. That's going to be an encouragement to all of us, how to respond in certain situations. But we need to prepare a message. And, you know, the truth is, I believe that everyone in this room, I think everybody in this room knows how to share the gospel. I believe that. That's not the issue that we're dealing with in taking it personally. The issue we're dealing with is having the courage and the burden and the passion to do it. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to prepare a message that we can give. Because I know, folks, listen, I'm your pastor, and there are times that I am simply overwhelmed at the idea of sharing the gospel with someone. But that's where we just seek God's face and seek God's help and seek Him and let Him have His will and way as we go to Him. Now, as we go to part two, we'll be talking about the practical aspects of that. But I'd like for this a moment here as we pray together. Can we pause and be Christians and be a church that commits to go with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Ourselves taking it to our community. Let's go to the Lord and ask Him to help us in this commitment. Lord God, as I pray and come before You, and as our church comes before You, Lord, everyone praying unto You, Lord, we want to say, God, we want to commit ourselves to taking the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to our community. Not to be dependent on anybody else, not to be dependent upon our missionaries just to do it, not being dependent on just the pastor to do it. But Lord, You have given every one of Your children a commission to go. Would You help us to take that personally? And Father God, I'm praying that every active member in our church will take it personally and get involved. Lord, only You can make that happen. I'm not here to convince. Lord, I'm not going to beat anybody over the head with the Bible. I'm simply going to commit that to You, Lord, and trust that You'll work in their hearts, that every person will say, I want ownership. I want to do more than I've ever done before. And sharing the gospel message. Lord, I ask this in Your marvelous, wonderful name, the Lord Jesus, who died for our sins and rose again the third day. Would You do a work of revival, God, a work of renewal in our hearts for souls? For it's in Your name I pray. Amen.